Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Incoming transmission.
Politics. Not good at politics. Surely there are others who are better suited.
Trek Politics with Mary L. Trump and Bob Seska.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this slightly different episode of Trek Politics with me, Mary Trump, and my co-host, Bob Seska.
Hi, Mary.
So we have been thrown a bit of a curveball. So we wanted to explain to everybody what's happening with today's episode and what's going to be happening, at least for the foreseeable future. As you all may have heard, SAG-AFTRA, which is the Screen Actors Guild Union for actors, has joined forces with the Writers Guild of America in striking for fair wages and compensation, et cetera, for actors and writers in Hollywood. And we've been waiting a few days for information to come out. We weren't really sure what our role here was. I mean, obviously, both of us stand in solidarity with the writers and actors, and that will never change, and our support is unwavering. We just weren't sure what how best to do that, or how our show might be limited. We knew, for example, that our guests were not going to be able to talk about their work, no matter how old. Not only could they not talk about what we're here to talk to them about, which is essentially the work they're doing presently, but they couldn't even talk about projects from the past, which is why today our guest, the great Kurt Acevedo, is basically filling us in on what's happening with the strike.
And I think it's important, not only from a philosophical point of view, to support the writers and actors in this endeavor, but I think coming at this from a Star Trek fan point of view, the better actors and writers are treated in that town will invariably improve Star Trek. The things that we love, the entertainment we love, even reaching beyond Star Trek, the movies and streaming shows that we love and which enrich our lives, that is not only invaluable to us as fans, but also invaluable to us as hosts of a podcast that circulates around this one particular show and series of movies. And I think, Mary, the best approach is to take this on a week-by-week basis, essentially talking to the guests that we already have booked and to proceed with the recording of those episodes with the strike in mind and making sure that we're able to navigate all of that, still producing shows to an extent while also not stepping on anyone's feet in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to bring you all up to date, we came into the show thinking that although there were quite strict boundaries in terms of what we could talk to our guests about, Bob and I were still going to talk about the latest episodes. But the new guidelines from SAG-AFTRA WGA came out, and if we want to be on the right side of this, we can no longer do that, so we are not going to. However, we had a really interesting conversation with Kirk, and I think that it's really going to help everybody out there watching and listening understand what's at stake, how things are going, and some maybe insights into how we can be supportive of this endeavor. And I think, Bob, we should just jump right in with our interview with Kirk Acevedo.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm doing well. You know, just trying to, you know, this heat is just insane across the country. It's just bizarre.
And are you in Vegas now? Or?
I was. I'm back in Los Angeles, and it's almost just as hot. So
you did something like 2,300 steps the other day? That's insane.
I did. I had to cut it short, surprisingly, because it was just was too hot. So.
So basically, the heat got the best of Kid Vicious.
Wait, you mean stairs?
Yeah, or so there's these stairs in... Well, yeah, there's... So one flight is 158 steps. That's one flight.
Jeez, that's a lot.
Wow.
So you do 15 of them, and they come out to the 2,300 and something.
And where was this?
This is in Los Angeles. This is going up Beechwood Canyon by the Hollywood sign. They have all these stairs that people use to, you know, get in shape. And
or get heat stroke.
Or get heat stroke. Yes, yes, yes.
So for obvious reasons, at least obvious to us, we can't talk about what we originally wanted to have you on to talk about. But
sure.
We thought it was really important if you were willing to talk to us about why we can't talk about what we would normally be talking about, because I think the strike now that especially now that the actors have joined with the writers is at a really pivotal moment in not just in the strike, but in the culture of your industry. In a way, it really feels like we're at a crossroads here. And we just thought it would be amazing to have you on. You're involved. You're, you know, deeply not just connected to the industry, of course, but interested in the outcome of this on behalf of not just you and Kirsten, but your colleagues and other parts of the industry as well. So we just really wanted to see how it's going, you know, keep people connected to this issue so people just don't think it's going to go away if we ignore it, and how people can help, basically.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we can't talk about much because we're in the middle of a massive strike, and not since, I would say, 63 years, since 1960, since the writers and actors strike together. So, and the last time that happened, what we got out of that strike was residuals, which is massive. So that's, for people who don't know what residuals are, whether you do a TV show or a film, and whether you're a writer, director, actor, and so forth, you get a piece of a percentage of every time it re-airs. And so for us, that's what we live off of when we're not working, which is massive. Now, one of the biggest things right now with is AI is just basically taking over, and and you know, writing, you know, you could just, you could put in a scenario into an, you know, ChatGPT, and they'll write you a script poorly, I might add, very poorly. There's no nuance. There's no, you know, it's like I tell my wife, the beauty is in the blemishes. And what I mean by that is, for instance, when you're on stage and you make a mistake, whether it be you forget a line or something, magic comes out of that moment that you would have never have found if you said the line the right way. And beauty happens in those mistakes. And it's the same thing in writing, it's the same thing in acting. And, you know, these AI systems or whatever you want to call it, you know, can't do what we do. There's no new. So the person that's programming these things, how does he make the AI act as well as Meryl Streep? How? Meryl Streep doesn't know what she's going to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and yeah. Also another thing is, your response, if you're the fellow actor opposite me, right? I don't know how I'm going to respond until you say your lines to me. And in that yeah. dance, or playing tennis, as you will, that's where the beauty happens.
That's incredible. You know, I'd never thought about it that way. The art happens in the uncertainty. And that's a beautiful way of looking at it. I think that's extraordinary. We need a bumper sticker.
Yeah, and the other thing, the other dimension to this too, is, Kirk, I mean, someone could take one of your performances or one of Meryl Streep's performances for that matter and say, sure. Okay, portray me, who's just a nobody, acting as well as Meryl Streep. And those prompts will borrow from Meryl Streep's performances and apply that to just some random person, thus devaluing the input of Meryl Streep's performance in the first place. So yep. it scrambles everything and leaves this huge gray area that I would imagine is a huge concern for so many actors, right?
I mean, that's just one of them. And another big one is for the background actors. This one, like, I mean, talk about being like massively apoplectic over the whole situation, was you could work for whether a background gets $150 or $200 a day. I don't know, but roughly it's, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I would assume it's right around there. And what the studios and networks wanted to do is they get paid for one day, these background actors, and then they own their likeness for eternity. It's like selling your soul for $200. And then they own your likeness, which is insane. So what if one of them becomes famous? What if one of them becomes the next Tom Cruise? So what, he has to buy back his likeness? I mean, there's so much gray area with AI. And, you know, and another issue is, for me, is one of the biggest issues. Besides the fact, like, they assume, like, oh, actors are the ones that are affected by the strike. That's not true. The whole industry, the people that make meals for the crew, the people that drive the crew and the rigs and the equipment, the hotels that put up crew and actors. I mean, it's the restaurants that you order from. All of this, we're talking about just tens of billions of dollars. It's, you know, and this thing, if people go on the internet and they go, hey, I show what you're worth, Kirk Acevedo, and you're worth $6 million. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let me break this down. So I've been on shows that were massive hits. I've been on films that have made over $800 million. I've been in films that have been nominated for Oscars. I've been on films that TV shows that have won Golden Globes and have Emmy Awards. I've won Drama Desk for Theater. I'm not showing you my accolades, but by me telling you this, not bragging about it, I'm trying to explain to you, during COVID, I lost my house.
Wow.
But if I'm worth all this money, and I've been on all these shows, right? And I've been on a lot of them, over 250 hours of network television. How is it that I could walk down the street and everyone might not know my name, but they'll know, oh, that's the guy from, oh, I recognize his voice, but yet I don't have a house. I lost my house. And these executives are making $50 million a year off of our backs. Off of our talent, talentless motherfuckers. Because what is their skill set? What their skill set is budgeting a dollar? Is that a skill set?
You know what, Kirk? There are a couple of things you're talking about that are so important that I think people don't understand. I want to start with the second thing first. Massive disparity that's nationwide. It's not just this industry. It's in every aspect of the private sector. The massive disparity between what the people at the very, very top are making and what everybody else is making. And it's so, we're talking about individuals, 10 individuals approximately, making in excess of $170 million a year, up to $450 million a year per person. Okay, so what they have at stake, because we live in such our culture of greed, is their bottom line. They don't care about anybody else. So we're up against these people who, as you say, are. I think their skill is basically stealing or scamming off the skills of everybody else. That's their profound skill. But we're learning that they're just. They have so much at stake that they're willing to be as vicious as possible, vicious in a bad way, not in a kid vicious way. And essentially starve people into submission, literally let people lose their houses as you did. And that brings me to the second point, which is people think, oh, recognizable Hollywood actor must have billions of dollars, right? And as you said, actors, all actors, even the most well-known, even those who have generally speaking had steady income and steady jobs over the years, go through fallow periods, and everybody went through COVID. Nobody was making any money except the guys at the top, because TV was still going on. No new productions were happening. So the number of people who could ride this out, the number of actors and screenwriters who could ride this stuff out, is minuscule. So if somebody is recognizable as you, as somebody who has been involved in the quality projects you've been involved in over the years, has struggled, imagine what the vast majority of people in the industry are going through. And I think I saw somewhere that in order to be eligible for health insurance in SAG-AFTRA, you need to make at least $26,000 a year, and something like 87% of members aren't eligible, are not eligible. This is insanity.
And this is, I'm glad you brought that up. Our last union president, so our premiums were raised. They made a deal, and our premiums were raised. I think initially it was 17,000 or 21,000. Then it jumped up to 26,000. It jumped up by 7,000. So I think the first tier was like, the minimum you had to make was like 17 or 18,000. They made that deal without telling the actors. And one of her co-stars, Shannon Doherty, who was dying of cancer, was left off. Didn't have health insurance from her own castmate, who was the president back then. And how do you not bring this to the union members to decide whether, because we all would have said no.
Yeah. Horrendous. That's why.
Horrendous. Terrible, terrible. You know, a lot of these people have never struggled, you know, and it's the same thing with, you know, I won't shit on her fully, but I just don't think our president understands. She gave a great speech. She had to, because she was under pressure to. They don't understand what the working class actor. My friend Josh Stewart said a great thing, a great phrase. He goes, "We are the tugboats that keep this ship afloat. Middle class actors." Mm. And that is the same thing throughout the country, the middle class, right? We're getting squeezed. It's the top 1%, and it's everybody else, and the middle class is just getting choked away. I mean, we're just literally, you know, and it's the same thing in our industry. It's horrendous. I mean, you know, people like Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks, they could survive these strikes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you know, Kirk, one of the things I see you tweet about quite a bit, and Kirsten, your wife, also tweets about this. In fact, most recently, a couple of days ago, What's it like to audition via home video rather than auditioning in person? It seems like a whole new impediment placed before actors in order to get the cameras together and get the right setting and the microphones and all the rest of it. Explain what that process is like and why this has kind of thrown a hurdle in the path of people like you and Kirsten.
Yeah. You know, the whole on tape thing, auditioning at home, putting yourself on tape. I enjoy both ways. Yeah. Let me explain. So I control the narrative if I tape it at home. I can do as many takes as I want if I tape it on my own. I could stage it. I could dress, look however I want. When you go into casting, you maybe get one or two takes, maybe three, and there's a line of actors waiting and they're in a hurry. So they're kind of like rushing you out the door, so to speak. Now, if they like you, you have certain relationships with casting, you know, and you have the ear of the director and the producers, you know, they have their favorites that they bring in and they give attention to. But the thing about the negative about shooting at a home is they want it shot a certain way. They want me to light it a certain way. You want me to mic it. Now, if you're a poor actor, struggling actor, you don't have all that equipment. Another issue is I got to find someone to read with me. I just had an argument with my wife. She doesn't want to read with me. These are the issues that no one understands. I got to quiet down the dogs. The dog is barking because the mailman came. My daughter's friends are like all these situations. And through it all, you're supposed to be focused. Memorize 11 pages they gave you the night before. Like, it's insane. Like, you know, it's...
Yeah.
But having said that, I do prefer having the control of doing it on my own. I do that.
Interesting.
Now, how it negatively affects you is you don't get to see the director. And that's a huge thing. You don't get to see the producers. One of the main things that I always tell, I speak to my alma mater, SUNY Purchase, and I tell them, when you walk in a room, there's three performances. First performance, when they first meet you. Second performance is the performance that you do. The third performance is when you break and how you leave. There's three different performances there. Guess what? When you put yourself on tape, they get none of that. They don't get your presence. Right. They don't get your voice. They don't see your physicality. They see none of that.
Right. It feels like in the last few years, largely because of COVID and now, of course, that it's left openings for sort of the worst impulses to take over. And in the last actor's strike, you know, that gave space for... reality TV take away a lot of jobs. And now we're dealing with the threats of AI, which are just unspeakably dangerous. I mean, more dangerous even than reality TV. So what's your sense of where this is heading? How you guys are going to fight against this enemy that is much better funded and much better able to ride out a long, protracted strike. And again, you know, is there anything else the rest of us can be doing as opposed to just leaving it all up to you? Because it feels wrong to continue to enjoy the fruits of your labor while you guys aren't getting compensated for it.
You know, those studios and networks are losing a lot of money. They've lost a lot of money during COVID. They've laid off a lot of people. They've cut back on shows. And yet these executives are still getting $49 million a year, getting bonuses, stock options. So there's still money to go around. They're just only going to a few people. That's the problem. So yes, they could wait us out. I think eventually we'll get what we want or most of what we want. How long that'll take, I don't know. I think it was a bad optic of the one executive saying our end game is to make to wait until they can't pay their mortgages and they're homeless.
Yeah.
That was bad on their part because like Ron Perlman says, we could find out who you are. And I'm sure we already did.
Although it was refreshingly honest.
I don't know how long this is going to last. And, you know, it's just, you know, there's a lot of actors that are in worse positions than I'm in. And so, you know, I have, you know, some savings and stuff like that that I can rely on, as bleak as it is after dealing with COVID. But I think what other people could do is cancel your Netflix, cancel your Hulu, cancel all of it. You cancel all of it, this strike will end a lot quicker.
Interesting.
Cancel Disney. Cancel all of it. Don't go to movies. Nothing.
Well, definitely not that.
I mean, I understand the wisdom of boycotting these things and canceling the streaming services and so on. But as consumers, if we're to go to one of these movies that are out right now, would that be the same as crossing the picket line? Would we as viewers, as theater goers, be crossing the picket line? Is that the thing that we should keep in mind?
I mean, you know, if they want to support us, I wouldn't go to any movies. And I would cancel all subscriptions.
Yeah, okay.
Because we can't go to a movie. We can't talk about jobs. We can't, you know, there's so many things we can't do.
And, you know, if you're like me, you've got a lot of DVDs floating around. Don't go buy anyone any new ones, but get out your, what is it even called? Your DVD player, your Blu-ray.
That's right. I forgot what those were called. Funny. Too. Yeah.
You know what's so funny? I can't even talk about what I purchased before the strike, like weeks before. But it was these old box sets of a certain show that I used to see when I was a kid. I can't believe I can't even talk about it. But I bought a DVD player just so I could play this box set.
I probably have the same one.
Maybe.
Maybe. Listen, Kirk, we really appreciate your being with us. I know that the circumstances are tough, and plus it's really hot. But mostly because, you know, we weren't able to talk to you about what we really wanted to talk to you about on the show. But again, we thought it was important for our listeners and viewers to know what's going on, because this isn't just about this isn't a simple issue, and this is about the future of your industry, and it's a human rights issue. This is about how we treat people who create the content that enriches our lives, you know, as opposed to the studio executives who just want to burn it all down so they can make a buck, or 450 million bucks as the case may be. So we're so grateful to you for your work that we can't talk about. And we hope that when things resolve, hopefully the way they should, that we'll be able to have you back on to talk about the fun stuff.
I would love to come back.
Excellent. Kirk, anything else you want to say?
No, I mean, the only thing I just would reiterate is, you know, I got a bunch of tweets and stuff about, you know, somebody was literally like going in on me saying, "You rich SOB, you're like killing our industry. And you're living in a mansion." I'm like, yeah. You know, I just want to reiterate again, like, you know, very few people, I mean, there's 2% of our union that the only thing they do is act. They have no other jobs.
Right.
But it's like half of a 1% that are making, like, you know, the money money. You know, we're literally middle class actors just trying to survive. And, you know, we're getting squeezed and squeezed.
And I think that is an extremely important point that a lot of people miss. But I also think, you know what? Even if you have millions and millions of dollars, you too deserve to get paid for your work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear these same people complaining about the executives worth hundreds of millions of dollars. It's like that's something that has always blown my mind. Like, they only complain about people making money when it's, you know, people doing the work, as opposed to the people at the top of the Fortune 500 companies just sitting back and reaping the benefits of other people's work. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah, Iger doesn't have to pay 10% to an agent, 10% to a manager. He doesn't pay any of that. And also, even if he, let's say if he had an agent, he negotiated down to 1%. That's what you do.
Right.
I mean, because Tom Cruise doesn't pay 10%.
Because it would be so much money, 1% of $400 million.
Right.
Plus, if he failed and there was a whole string of lame movies that didn't get any box office whatsoever, he could actually leave that company with a huge golden parachute and make out like
huge
a bandit with millions of dollars at least. Yeah, yeah.
Meanwhile, if we fail, if we have a shitty film or a shitty TV show, we don't work.
That's right.
Exactly. And the way the word gets around that town, if you had nothing to do with a failed project, you're still going to get tarnished. You're going to get tainted with the failure of that project. And there's really nothing you can do about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. You know, in if you speak to agents and managers, they tell you, no, you weren't number one in the call sheet. That film was based around this actor.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're still part of it. Yep. You're still part of something that failed.
So basically, some fairness is all you guys are asking for. That's
empathy. See,
it seems pretty simple. So Kirk, thank you again so much. And we're totally in support of you here on Trek Politics. And please keep us posted as things develop.
Will do. Thank you for having me, guys.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, despite the fact that he was sitting in his car in like 150 degree heat and his entire industry is on strike, I thought that was amazing.
I was seriously concerned there for a while. Someone was going to come knocking on his window like he was a dog trapped in a car in the Walmart parking lot. And then we'd end up in trouble that way. Someone would take a rock and break through his window. Let's save Kirk Acevedo. Save. What are you doing, you monsters? Why are you making him sit in this car? But he had the air conditioning running, so he was fine.
He did indeed. So I just wanted to flag something that Kirk talked about. And he mentioned that in his view, a way to support actors and writers is for those of us who are consumers of entertainment, essentially boycott streaming services, don't go to movies, et cetera. And on Twitter today, I saw a post by the great John Carroll Lynch, who took the same position, but also pointed out that at the moment, the unions are not asking for boycotts. So I don't know enough about the ins and outs of this stuff, but I am going to follow the lead of the unions in this and wait to see where they come down on boycotting. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. We know a lot of people, including one of our forthcoming guests, Sean Farrick from Trek Culture. And we know a lot of fans who work in the podcasting space in particular. And this debate that we're having, this discussion, this adjustment in terms of how we do the show, this is happening across all of those other shows as well. Everyone's in this conundrum trying to figure out how to move forward. And I think the best way to do that is to err on the side of whatever benefits the studios, the money makers at this point, that we take a step away from that. Even if it comes down to talking about Star Trek on social media. I mean, I love doing that. I love talking about Star Trek and all of these other things that are behind me. But I think for the time being, I'm going to take a rest from it in solidarity with the performers and the writers. I think that's the very, very least we can do.
Yeah. And just to highlight another point Kirk made that maybe we don't often think about is this is not just about the actors and the writers, although it is primarily about them. This, the ways in which people are compensated unfairly, basically impacts many, many people in many, many different industries. So, you know, this is a fight for the future. This is a fight for artists and those of us who value their art. There's a lot at stake here, everybody. And I think at the most basic level, what's at stake is treating the people who are largely responsible for your success, studio heads, with dignity and basic human decency.
Yeah, exactly. And then we've got this wild card of artificial intelligence that I think our position on that aspect of all of this is quite clear after talking about it with Tim Russ and then with Kirk. That's a whole new dangerous territory that I think we're in treacherous territory. We really need some serious regulation on that front because, as I've said, it's one of those things where there are myriad benefits to it. But at the same time, there are myriad downsides and dangerous things that could come with AI. Already, Ron DeSantis, for example, has released an ad with an AI version of Donald in it, which is not stated as being AI. They just present it and it's just there. So that moving into the entertainment space where it's stepping on the toes of artists, I think we need regulation at the very least at that level.
Yeah. And this comes under the heading of just because you can do a thing doesn't mean you should. So I really hope Congress catches up. I think it's long past time that our politicians in Congress start educating themselves or at least hiring people or and consulting people who actually know stuff about this particular issue, who know about social media, who know about AI, instead of pretending that they know everything about everything, because nobody knows everything about everything. And we're at a crossroads here. And these issues need to be taken seriously and dealt with before too much damage has been done.
We have a thing in the United States where only acting after the damage has been done. Be nice if we had some foresight every now and again in the in America.
It explains a lot about where we are and how we got here. But we hope that you got a lot out of the interview with Kirk. And he will be back for sure after the strike is over. So we can talk about why he came on to talk to us in the first place. But in the spirit of kind of being creative with this curve we've been thrown, we're going to continue having guests to talk about, yes, the strike, but also how does an artist handle being in a situation where he or she can't really do their work, you know, and how it's sort of similar to COVID, I guess, in some ways, how everything got interrupted, disrupted, was destabilized. So to help us grapple with all of these issues next week, I'm so excited about this. I can't even contain myself. We are having on as our guest next week, the extraordinary, the phenomenal, amazing human being, Mary McDonnell.
Yeah.
I'm very happy about this.
So excited. Yeah.
So I promise you, even though we are not going to be able to talk to her about the incredible body of work that she has produced. Like just seriously incredible. You are not going to want to miss this. She's just an awesome person. And she's also incredibly smart and very dedicated to the cause. So don't miss next week. That's Trek Politics with Mary McDonnell. Everybody, come on. hopefully we have some good news, but we promise you we're going to keep going no matter what. And we're going to keep bringing you information, news, updates, and incredible guests. So hang in there.